Shalom, dear brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. I trust that we all have been enjoying the sermons that have been preached from the book of Romans so far. And Romans is indeed a fascinating book where we learn so many theological truths from our Lord God. And we have heard about the grace of God, the wonderful grace of God. We have heard about righteousness and how we have been made righteous and how we have been set free from sin and to live in the Lord. And today our passage is found in Romans chapter 8, verse 1 to 8. And I have entitled the message today as Set Free to Live in the Spirit, that we are set free to live in the Spirit. And this is actually a continuation of the previous chapters, and especially chapter 7. Let us pray before we continue on. Our Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word that is given to us. And we are so thankful for the opportunities these days to study together the book of Romans, and to discover yet again the wonderful things that you have done in our lives. And for today, we surely want to look to you and trust ourselves to you. And may your Holy Spirit work inside us, and that we will be blessed by you, and we will be encouraged to know what you have done and to live for you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Chapter 7 ended with this statement from the Apostle Paul. Paul said, "What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death?" As Elder Chun has preached from this passage in chapter 7, we realize that even as Christians, sometimes we still struggle with our own nature. And sometimes we wonder, who can help me to be rescued and delivered from this body of sin and death? And the answer is, thanks be to God. It is through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Jesus Christ is indeed very, very powerful. He has done an amazing thing in delivering us from the body of death. And we can continue to experience his deliverance in our life. And in verse 1 of chapter 8, it says, Therefore, because of the deliverance that comes from Jesus Christ, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So we can see that the first verse of chapter 8 is very much connected to chapter 7. So because of what Christ has done for us, we now have no more condemnation. Now, condemnation is a very terrible word. And especially if we are condemned to death. Now imagine that you are a young man and you have committed a serious crime and you are now put into prison and you are going to be hanged because of the nature of your crime. You are going to die for your sin, for your crime, and you are going to be hanged in 2 weeks' time. Now imagine you now living in the prison, knowing that you are a condemned man. And say that you have a young wife and 2 young children. You will never be able to see them again. You will not be able to play with them and laugh together. And you probably will be very sad, very unhappy, and knowing that your life is going to be finished. But suppose you receive news that the king has pardoned you. From the pardon of the king, you can be set free and you will no longer be a condemned man. Now imagine how you feel. You'll be leaping for joy. You can see your wife and your children again. You can walk together with your family in the park. You can breathe in the fresh air. You can hear the birds singing again. And you can eat chow kway teow again. That must have been such a relief and a joy when a condemned man realized that he is now no longer condemned. And that is who we are. God has done a tremendous thing in bringing us righteousness so that we will no longer be condemned. So let us not live as condemned people. In verse 2, it tells us that it is through Christ Jesus that the law of the Spirit set me free from the law of sin and death. Now, this is not something new. It has been presented already in previous chapters. And it is what Christ has done for us that we have been set free from the law of sin and death. And even in chapter 7, at the beginning of chapter 7, in verse 3, it tells us that if the husband dies, the wife is released from the law and is not an adulteress if she will marry another man. But if a wife married to a man and the husband is still alive and she goes and married another man, she is condemned. She will be an adulteress. But if the husband die, she is set free from that law. Free already. And that is an illustration given in chapter 7. That we have been now set free from the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death does not apply to us anymore. And we are set free by the death of Jesus Christ. By the Holy Spirit. By the law of the Spirit. And verse 3 continue to say that God sent his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And the second part of verse 3 say that so to condemn sin in the flesh. I trust that all of us have already understand that we can be set free is because Jesus Christ came to the world in sinful flesh, in the flesh of sinful humans, though he did not sin, and presenting himself as a sin offering. He offers himself as a sin offering for our sin so that he can condemn sin. In other words, Jesus came to die for us to take our place. And verse 4 say that so that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us. There are different ways of looking into this verse, but basically most scholars will interpret this to mean that because of what Christ has done, the righteous requirement of God is being met. Because God is righteous, God is holy, God is just, and sin is sin. God cannot just ignore sin. So the requirements of God that sin be punished was met by Jesus Christ because Christ himself was punished for our sin. So the requirement that is required of us is being met in Jesus Christ. And it is because of this that we are set free from the law of sin and death. Now we come to the second major point of this passage. And this is that we are set free to live in the Spirit. The first point is that we are set free from the law of sin and death. For what? We are not set free just to be free for nothing. We are set free for a life now that is to be in the Spirit. And chapter 8 is the chapter that ushers us into this amazing teaching about the life in the Spirit. And our next few verses for our passage is just a part of what is more to come in chapter 8 about life in the Spirit. Verse 5. It tells us that those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. Because we are now living according to the Spirit, we are not to set our minds on the desires of the flesh. So this is the first point under this second major emphasis of this passage. Alright, the second major emphasis of this passage is that we are set free to live in the Spirit. We are now going to live according to the Spirit. And how? First of all, to live according to the Spirit, we must not set our minds on the desires of the flesh, because it is still possible that even now we have been set free, we can continue to set our minds on the things of the flesh. So, to live in the Spirit, the first thing is that we are not to set our minds on the flesh, on the things of the flesh. So this word set is very important. And this word set in some translation, it is translated as after. That means to have the minds after the things of the flesh. To be set on the things of the flesh. And it has been translated also as being controlled by the desires of the flesh. And in verse 6 in the NIV, it says that the mind governed by the flesh is death. So this word govern, in some translation, is also translated as set and also control. So to have the mind set on the things of the flesh is to have the mind being governed, the mind being controlled, and the mind going after the things of the flesh. Now, in the second part of verse 5, it tells us about the desires of the flesh, or what the flesh desires. This word desires is actually the things of the flesh that cause us to desire after, to want to have the things of the flesh. And these are sinful things. The flesh is the sinful nature. So to have the things of the flesh means to have sinful things that our minds are after. And what are such things? They are the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. So the things of the flesh, the desires of the flesh, can be summarized under these three categories. And this will include all the immorality, the impurity, the bitterness, the anger, the unforgiveness, the disobedience, and pride. Thinking that we are so important, more important than God and other people, and being willing to manipulate other people. So all these are sinful things. And when our minds are set on the things of the flesh, on the flesh desires, this kind of things will be in our mind, and we will find ourselves doing such things. And in verse 7, it tells us that when we have this desires of the flesh, and when our minds are set on the desires of the flesh, it is hostile to God. In verse 7, it says that this is hostile to God. Now, James chapter 4, verse 4 says that friendship with the world is hatred towards God. We are living in the world, but we are not of the world. And when the Bible talks about the world, very often it means the sinful things of the world being something that is in darkness, that is not submitted to God, and in fact it is submitted to the devil, and it is not of God. So in that sense, when we talk about the world, it's not talking about trees and the birds and the flowers and the fish, all right? It is talking about this nature this system that is not of God. So when we are living for the world, when we are of the world, that means that we are enemies of God. We are hostile to God. So to have our mind set on the things of the flesh is hostile to God. And in verse 7, it tells us that such a mind that is set on the things of the flesh do not and cannot submit to God's law. It will be disobedient to God. It will not want to obey God. It will not want to live in the ways of God. So, my friends, if you know of people now who do not want to live in the ways of God and do not submit to God and cannot submit to God, it will be meaning that these people are having their minds set on the things of the world, the minds governed by the desires of the flesh. And in verse 8, it tells us that such a mind that is controlled and governed by the flesh cannot please God. God's smile, God's happiness will not be upon us, because God is being an enemy of us. We are enemies of God. We are not of God. And in verse 6, it tells us that when we set our minds on the things of the flesh, it will lead to death. And this is something very, very, very important for us to understand. If we set our minds on the things of the flesh, it will result in death. Now, death here is not only death of the body, it's not only physical death, it is spiritual death. And remember that a human is basically a spiritual being, because God created us a spiritual being. It is not just body, it is also soul. Soul and spirit are often the same thing, but it can also be different, right? So we do have a soul, we do have a spirit. And when we die spiritually, it means that our soul will die, meaning that we will not be able to live even eternally with God. We will be separated from God, and we are spiritually dead people. And it is terrible to be a spiritual dead person. So I hope that every one of us here are not dead people. We are alive people. Not dead people in our sin, not dead people spiritually. But if we set our minds on worldly things, on the things of the flesh, it will lead to death. And we do not want to go in that direction. Now, we want to move on to the second point of this second major emphasis of this passage, and that is, we are to set our minds on the Spirit. All right? So this is the thing. We are to set our minds on the things of the Spirit, the desires of the Spirit, what the Spirit desires. That is to have our minds governed, our minds controlled by the Spirit, by the things of the Spirit, by the desires of the Spirit. And what will be these desires? What will be these things? They will be holiness, they will be godliness, they will be righteousness, they will be goodness. These are the things of the Spirit. When our minds are set on the things of the Spirit, it means that our minds are setting on things that are godly, that are holy, that are right, that are just, and that are good. But a mind that is set on the things of the flesh will not be able to have these kind of things in the minds and in the head and in the heart and in our experience. So instead of having such good things, such godly things, you'll be having evil things. Isn't it right? Now in Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 to 23, it contrasts what are the things of the flesh and what are the things of the spirit. And all this can be, the things of the flesh can be categorized under three main groupings, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. But in these few verses, it lists out some of these sins, like sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. So if we have our mind set on the things of the flesh, this will be what our minds will be thinking. But the fruit of the Spirit, when our minds are set on the Spirit, it will result in love, joy, peace, goodness, patience, kindness, and so on. So a mind that is set on the things of the Spirit will be thinking, will be having thoughts and even actions that will be of love, that will be of peace, that will be of goodness, that will be of holiness, that will be of righteousness and godliness. And in verse 6, it tells us that when our minds are set on the things of the Spirit, it will result, it will lead to life and peace. Now, earlier on, it tells us that if our minds are set on the things of the flesh, it will lead to what? It will lead to death. But when our minds are set on the things of the Spirit, it will lead to what? Lead to life and peace. Now, life means a life that is real. It is real life. God created us to live in a certain way. And when we live in that certain way, we really actually enjoy fulfilling and meaningful life. But many people think that life is after worldly things, but that is actually not life. They will discover that it will be leading to misery. People who seem to be enjoying themselves with worldly things, they are actually miserable people. They don't have life. But when our minds are set on the Spirit, we really enjoy life. So my brother, my sister, are you really enjoying life? If your minds are set on the Spirit, you enjoy life because you have life, because you are living in the life that God has created you and I to live. And not only do we have life when we set our minds on the things of the Spirit, we also have peace. Now in the world, there is no peace. Where can you find peace in the world? Every corner in the world, there is discord, there is disunity, there is quarrel, there is disharmony. And even in the hearts of humans, there is no peace. No peace with himself, no peace with others, even in the family, and no peace even with all kinds of situations. But when our minds are set on the Spirit, we receive a peace that surpasses understanding. It is the peace of God. And we have peace with God. We are at peace now with God. No condemnation. Set free already. And we have peace with ourselves. There is an inner peace within ourselves. And it is a terrible thing not to have peace with ourselves. But when we live in the Spirit, we have peace, the peace of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus said, peace I give to you, my peace I give to you. And we have peace with God. We have peace with self. We have peace with others. Yeah, really, we can be at peace with others. And we can have peace even with situations and environment. No matter what is happening, we can experience peace. So we all want to have life and peace. And how can we have that? By setting our minds on the Spirit, so that we will be walking in the Spirit. Now, let us give some attention to setting our minds on what the Spirit desires, or setting our minds on the things of the Spirit. And in fact, we can call it to have a transformed mind. Now, in chapter 12 of Romans, it talks about being transformed by the renewal of the mind, and that we will reserve for chapter 12. So, to set our minds on the things of the Spirit is very, very important. Now, how our minds are being set, how or what our minds are after, or how our minds are being controlled is very, very, very important. Our minds are very, very powerful, and it affects our whole being, our whole life. What we think will be what we are. What you think will be who you are. If you can tell me what you are thinking in your daily life, what you think in the morning, what you think throughout the day, what you think in the night, I can tell you who you are and what you are. In fact, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7, as a man think, so he is. Now, this can be translated a bit differently, but actually it is the same meaning. What you think will be what you are. So, what are you thinking? What is in our mind? What is it that our minds are after? Now, even in this pandemic, right? Pandemic, your mind can be thinking, oh, this is terrible. Why is it like that, right? Why is that people are not following the SOP? This is terrible. Am I going to die? Would I get the COVID-19? And when you think like that, you can become miserable. But if you think in a way that is of the Spirit, meaning that, okay, the Word of God actually is telling me that in the last days, there will be all kinds of pestilences. So God is actually telling me that this is something that is expected, and the world is not going to get better, it's going to get worse before Christ comes again. So it means that Christ is coming very soon. So my mind is thinking like that. And my mind is thinking and is set upon God, and my mind continue to believe that God is still in control, and that God is actually making his purpose coming to fulfillment. And if I have my mind thinking like that, I will still be able to enjoy life today, and I can still be able to have peace today if I think like that. Now, even if you get sick, right? What is it that your mind is thinking? How do you think when you get sick? Especially if you have a serious sickness, or if a person gets a terminal illness, it is very easy for the mind to be telling the person, oh, I'm going to die. Why am I like that? Why do I have to be like that? And my life is going to be finished already. I'm going to die. And what else can I do? And you can become miserable. Now, my church in Singapore is very near to a hospital. And this hospital allowed us to go to the wards and visit the patients, especially during Christmas and Easter. And the church will normally send a group of people into the hospital at a certain time agreed by the hospital, and we will go to the different wards. And I have been to the wards where terminal ill people were put in. And most of the people that you look at in this world, their faces, there is a blankness, there is a darkness, there is a hopelessness, there is a misery in their face, because they know that they have a terminal illness, they are going to die. But once in a while, I will notice a face that is serene, that seems to be at peace. And this person may even be reaching out to other patients and being helpful to others, saying kind words to other people. And when I see such a face, I normally will go to them and say, "Do you know Jesus?" And most of the time, the person will say, "Yes, I know Jesus." So a person who is terminal ill, knowing that he is going to die or she is going to die, but if his mind is set on the things of God and he is thinking that, "Oh, yeah, everybody is going to die, as the Bible says, and when I die, I go into the presence of God, and God will give me the grace to go through the remaining days of my life." And when you have your mind thinking like that, and set on the things of God and the things of the Spirit, you can still continue to enjoy the last days of your life, and you can be at peace in your heart. So the mind is so important. Now, another thing is that when a person is against you, when a person is gossiping about you, when a person is going around telling things that are bad about you, but it is not real, it is false accusation, it is very natural and easy to react in a way that you get very upset, you get very miserable. Why is he doing that to me? What have I done? I've done nothing. Why is he telling lies about me? This is unfair. This is terrible. And you can become very upset, very miserable, very angry. But if your mind is thinking of the things of the Spirit and things of the Word of God, you will be thinking like, yes, the Bible said that everyone is a sinner. And if a person behaves like that, that person is sinning against God. And it is actually not so much sinning against me. He is answerable to God. It is actually his problem. It's not my problem. And what is the Bible telling me to do? What is it that the Holy Spirit wants me to do? Jesus is telling me that I need to love even my enemies. And I actually can still continue to do good even to my enemies. And if I do good to my enemies, it's like pouring water upon coals, burning coals. So even though there may be people gossiping about me and saying bad things about me, I can still enjoy life and I can still have peace only if my mind is set on the Spirit, on the things of God. So brothers and sisters, in order to live in the Spirit, in order to really enjoy real life and real peace, it is important that we set our minds on the things of the Spirit, on what the Spirit desires, what Jesus desires, what God desires. And this is a very, very important truth, because every day in our life, we are thinking. Our minds is after something. So what is it that our minds are after? So in conclusion, we are set free from death, from sin, to live in the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit. And how do we do that? By setting our minds on what the Spirit desires and not on what the flesh desires. It is still possible for us to go after the things of the flesh, to go after the desires of the flesh and to set our minds on the things of the flesh. But let us not do that. Let us consciously, intentionally, for the rest of our lives, ask God to help us to set our minds on the things of the Spirit. And you know what? We will experience real life and real peace. So let us take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. This is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. And whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, think of these things. Whatever is of excellence and praiseworthy, think of these things. Found in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. And as we think of these things, and as we take our minds to be under the control of God, under Christ, we are going to experience real life. We are going to enjoy life every day, and we will have peace in our hearts. Let us pray. Oh God, it is so wonderful to be able to live in this day and time when we see so much problem around us, that we can still enjoy life and we can have peace inside us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you have given us your peace, a peace that surpasses understanding, a peace that the world cannot experience. And now, Lord, may your life and your peace be evidence in each one of our lives as we set our minds on the things of the Spirit. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.